There's just over 2 days until the moratorium on evictions in this country expires. And if it is not extended, there will be millions of people facing homelessness. And boy, is this bubble going to burst. Now, of course, this could get extended at the last minute and thus stave off the ultimate collapse of the economy. And it's not like it's going to be like overnight, all of a sudden it's Mad Max. But collapse just means, hey man, hyperinflation, mass homelessness, job losses, business shutting down. It will be a rapid, rapid depression. And you know what? This is Biden's inflation crisis. Now, I can certainly say COVID is the primary culprit for a lot of reasons. But, you know, Joe Biden is the president. It's his policies, mass printing of money, and the immigration crisis, which are all feeding into a massive inflation crisis. And it was Joe Biden who wanted to extend unemployment. It is the Democrats who wanted to extend the COVID unemployment benefits until September 6th, meaning people are not working. They're choosing not to work. They won't get jobs. And it would kind of make sense if the moratorium on evictions went till September 6th and the COVID benefits ended July 31st. That way people would be like, I got a couple months to figure out how to pay the rent before I get the boot. But it won't matter anyway. We've heard the stories. People are getting these unemployment checks and they're not paying their rent anyway. Why? Well, they don't have to. Because people think short term. Boy, this is a bubble that is going to be big and it's going to be bad. And a lot of people seem to think that if we don't extend these benefits, if we don't extend the moratorium on eviction, it's over. It will be massive, massive depression. We're already seeing major labor shortages. The World Economic Forum, with their fanciful video, 41% of people are planning on quitting their jobs. Why would anyone want to work? Last night, we were graced with the presence of Papa John's founder, John Schnatter. And he told us a story in our members-only segment about how someone he knows who runs a pizza shop is paying $35 an hour to guys to make pizzas. He has to. Otherwise, they won't work because the unemployment benefits are there and they're about $15, $16 an hour. But you know what that means? It means like $50 pizzas. It means pizzas are going to double in cost. And when the pizza goes up, the food goes up, because labor goes up, everything else is going up. Perhaps that's Biden's way of getting out of the gas crisis. America's no longer energy independent, and we're seeing $6 a gallon gas in California. Well, here's one way to solve for it. Massive hyperinflation. Because then everyone's salaries will have to go up, right? Wrong. Due to the inflation crisis, real wages have gone down almost 2%. My friends, this is a disaster. And I know, you know, there are a lot of people who have been hurting for a long time, and a lot of people can't see the long-term impacts of what this administration is doing. And I see it from my friends, many on the left, who are just like, we need this money. We need Biden to print money. We need to bar the evictions. And I'm like, dude, it's poison. It is poisoning the economy. I see these people posting on Reddit anti-work saying we shouldn't have to work jobs we don't like. It is poisoning the economy. You are on borrowed time. Now, I don't know. Maybe there'll be a solution. We tend to always find a way out of these crises. But for the time being, I can point out what's happening and tell you, if we do not get a hold of this, we're in for a great reckoning. And it's coming soon. Now, before we get started, head over to TimCast.com, become a member, and you'll get access to exclusive members-only segments of the TimCast IRL podcast and an advertisement-free experience from all of our articles and videos. You can read our great and fierce independent journalism and support the work of our reporters and journalists, and do it without seeing ads. So it is greatly appreciated if you want to support our work, help us expand. But don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, hit that notification bell, and share the video if you think this stuff is important. Here's the story we have from TimCast.com, and I want to set the stage first with this inflation story because it's fairly simple. And then I want to talk about the evictions and the crisis that is about to hit. From TimCast.com, Biden's inflation causes wages to drop by almost 2% due to record-breaking inflation levels under the Biden administration. The average American's wage has decreased nearly 2% from June 2020 to June 2021. According to recently released data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, average hourly earnings have increased from $29.35 in June to $30.40 in June 2020 to $30.40 in June 2021. Hey, wait a minute. That sounds like the number went up. Let's do math. They say when adjusting for inflation, however, real average hourly earnings have decreased 1.7% during that same period. By comparison, when former President Trump left office, the Bureau of Labor Statistics revealed that real average hourly earnings had risen 3.8% from January 2020 to January 2021. So why do I say Biden's inflation crisis? Because under Trump, this wasn't happening. Even amid COVID, with all of the crisis, real earnings went up. And 2019, man, we heard it all the time. The best numbers of our lives. I saw so many people saying they made more money than they ever did. They were happy. They were buying. The economy was a roaring. And then Joe Biden. You know, I see these Twitter posts from these well-to-do liberal types who are complaining, Trump's a fascist. And now what are they posting? Pictures of $6 gasoline because they live in California. And I'm like, what did you think was going to happen? We were energy independent under Donald Trump. The man's far, far from perfect. But we at least knew that Joe Biden opposed energy independence in America. And now Joe Biden has released sanctions on Russia for their Nord Stream 2 oil pipeline, a gas pipeline. And there you go. That's the plan. Hyperinflation. My friends, I hope you are prepared. Because even if they extend the moratorium, they are just kicking the can down the road. From Yahoo News. Millions of renters face eviction and homelessness. Three essential reads about the CDC's expiring moratorium. Now, of course, they do try to calm everybody down. And I gotta make sure y'all understand. In 2008, right before we saw this massive collapse, the Great Recession, they called it. What was the media saying? Bye, bye, bye. Everything's great. You are happy. And then boom. The rug was pulled out from underneath everybody. You see, they want to avoid a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is what the media does, something I don't do, and maybe there's an issue with it. No, let's be honest. The media will keep telling you everything's fine because they don't want to tell you to panic, which could cause a faster collapse. I understand that. If everybody in the media came out and said it is going to be a disaster in the market, sell, 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 that would precipitate the market collapse. So they say everything's fine, but therein lies the bigger problem. Telling the working class people not to sell, but to buy, leaves them holding the bag when the financial institutions get bailed out or sell out very, very quickly. There's no easy solution. I will not lie and put up these stories saying everything's going to be fine for the sake of trying to protect the economy. I'm more worried about the individual. I understand that telling you all this and creating videos like this could very well result in people saying, I'm going to sell or get out of the market or something like that. I'm not an economist. I don't know what will happen. Here's what they write. The White House and city officials across the country are scrambling to avoid an eviction crisis. The federal housing eviction moratorium that the CDC put in place in September 2020 expires on July 31st, 2021. Just over two more days, my friends. I hope you are ready. If they don't take action, I don't know what the answer is. After that, millions of Americans who owe tens of billions of dollars in unpaid rent will lose that protection and may face eviction and a loss of their homes. Meanwhile, a group of landlords is suing the U.S. government to recover damages it says its members suffered from not being able to evict tenants who didn't pay rent. Although Congress allocated more than $46 billion for emergency rental aid, most of it hasn't reached many of the people who need it, as state and local governments struggle to distribute the money. Many renters are unaware relief is available. We've been following the issue throughout the pandemic and picked three articles from our archive to get you up to speed. One, housing insecurity is a pre-existing condition. Full stop. Don't play those games with me, dude. We know that much of what's happening right now, this crisis, is because of unemployment benefits that pay very, very well and because of COVID. One of those, an act of nature. I'm not going to blame people necessarily for COVID, but the economic shutdown, which destroyed businesses and resulted in people leaving their jobs, followed by those unemployment benefits, that's a man-made disaster. And it is new. Now, I know housing insecurity has been a problem for some time, but this crisis we're experiencing, this is unique to now. Don't play these games. We'll read more, but let me show you this tweet. This is a tweet from a user on Twitter named Hey Boo Boo. I read this tweet before, but I want to read it now for you so you can understand what they're saying. Yesterday was a sad day for me and my husband. We closed on our rental property that we had no choice but to sell. The government mandated that people could live in it for free for over a year. We lost out on over $42,000 in rental income. Now, already, I can hear young leftists saying, haha, landlord's not a job. Let's read more. All of our renters were receiving unemployment, but the government would not allow evictions, so they just didn't pay. So the people had the money. They were able to pay. But why? Go ahead and evict them. Hey, think about this. You evict these people now once the moratorium expires and they've been sitting on this unemployment. They got a savings. They'll say, I saved several $1,000s in not paying rent. I'll just use that to rent a new place. What am I worried about? You give them an eviction notice. They get 30 days. They go find another apartment. However, they may try. And the other place apartment may ask, have you ever been subject to an eviction? Yes. Sorry, we won't rent to you. She says, we got no break on paying property taxes, insurance, and utilities, so we blew through our savings. We are trying to pursue back rent at this time. My husband inherited the property from his father who died of cancer, so it's been a bit emotional. This whole government-induced tragedy has done irreparable harm to so many. Now, I've not verified this story. I don't know if it's true. Maybe it's just someone on Twitter making something up for political reasons. Perhaps. I don't know. I can tell you this. It's obvious that these stories are going to be happening. It's obvious what will occur in the next 2.5, 3 days. There are many people who didn't pay. I mean, I've heard tons of stories outside of this one from people saying, like, why bother paying? I've heard stories from landlords saying the people renting the apartment just stopped paying because they can't be evicted. These landlords who run these buildings have a job. Being a landlord, there's a job there. Okay? You have to pay people to maintain the building. You have to make sure the tenants are taken care of. You have legal obligations. And the tenants don't have to worry about insurance or taxes. And they have to, and they can tell you to fix everything. People seem to think that just by virtue of being a landlord, you're going to be making all this money off of these renters. There are advantages to being renters, to being a renter. Personally, I think owning is better. But some people, as you've seen in many stories, want to rent. No responsibility, no taxes, no liability. No worrying about where your investment value. And what if you rent to someone and they present a huge risk and they destroy your building? What if you're just someone who owns one house and you rent out your basement? Now you got someone living there who stops paying you. You can't do nothing about it. Yahoo goes on to say evictions are rising in some states. While the federal moratorium has ensured some renters don't lose their homes, many others haven't been so lucky. As evictions continued throughout most of the pandemic. For example, in Idaho, which didn't have a statewide eviction ban, evictions fell in April and May as most courts closed because of lockdowns. But when courts reopened, evictions headed back towards 2019 levels. And three, eviction court favors landlords. This one is the one you need to pay attention to. Before landlords can evict a renter, they first must take them to court. But eviction courts aren't about due process and getting a fair hearing, explains Katie Ramsey Mason. States created eviction courts to offer landlords a summary process to ensure cases are handled very quickly, sometimes in less than a week. As a result, the odds are stacked heavily in favor of landlords. Now, I'm not going to play any games about, you know, what people should or shouldn't do or anything. I'm just going to say this. If the courts favor the landlords and the moratorium ends, millions of renters will be served eviction notices. Boy, I tell you this. And then what happens if these people try to apply at a new place? Because obviously, with all these evictions, there's going to be tons of open apartments. Well, the landlords need rentees. So they may be fairly lax this time around. If someone says, look, I was just evicted, but here's money up front, they might say, I'll take what I can get. But it may result in many businesses saying, or many landlords just saying, it's not worth renting this out. It's better to use it for ourselves. Or they're forced to sell to major investment firms. The Delta variant is serious, and it's causing, I don't know, another lockdown, more mask mandates. Nevada, we're seeing it, which could result in an extended economic crisis when we are already in trouble. What does CNBC say? Delta variant might be a reason to extend unemployment benefits, say economists. And there we go. More people taking from the system without putting into it. Now, the system for a long time had more being put into it than was being taken out in a certain respect. There's a lot of waste. And this is a great correction, whether intentional or not. Personally, I think elements, you know, of the political elites and the Davos Group types really want something like this. But it could just be a correction. Too much waste, I suppose. I don't know, though. I think there's an element of a standalone complex. What I mean by that is there are many powerful elites who agree on certain changes due to watching the news, who have decided to take action that's resulted in this. Take a look at this story from the World Economic Forum. That's right. The World Economic Forum is the group that said in 2030, you will own nothing and you will be happy. 41% of workers globally are considering quitting their job. What will those people do? What will they eat? How will they eat? Man, we're in a dangerous place, my friends. The reality is they call this the Great Resignation. The BBC reported on this about a month ago, I believe. Yes, or just earlier this month. What do you think is going to happen when people don't work, when people can't pay rent, when people are facing major mass evictions? They're becoming dependent on the government to pay them and protect their homes or where they live. Sounds like there's a switch that says communism that's about to get flicked. That's what I think. You see, when this crisis hits due to the inflation, Biden's crisis, people are going to make demands of the government. They're going to say, you must make sure we do not become homeless. And you know what? A lot of people are going to agree, even conservatives. They're going to say, look, we don't like it, but we can't have 10 million homeless people added, you know, just kicked out of their houses, maybe even more than that. So what will happen? Major bailouts. How much you want to bet the government, maybe, will say, we're going to bail out the landlords and buy up a piece of their investment firms or a piece of their buildings. I see the story about BlackRock and Blackstone, these investment firms, buying up rental businesses. What happens if the government says, oh, no, they're failing, and if we don't do something, then people will become homeless and there'll be a depression. Better bail them out like we did the auto industry and the big banks. And then the government gets their hand in homeownership. And then you live in a building, you pay rent in a building that's partially owned by the government. Welcome to living in public housing. How much further do we have to go until it's just government-owned housing, and then we're living in Soviet-style block housing? Now, I don't know if that actually happened, or if it does, it'll be very slow. These things don't happen overnight, and it's not like I'm not saying it's a grand conspiracy. I think it very well may be a natural correction, a standalone complex, or a combination of the two, meaning we can't keep doing the same things, kicking the can down the road, and thinking things are going to change. You have short-term thinking in this country. The Democrats especially saying, just give them their bonuses, give them the unemployment, and then, you know, the rest will take care of itself. Or they're thinking, I'll be out of office by then. Someone else will have to inherit this. And what's left of the economy? The people in the know, I've described it as them extracting from the system as it sinks. They are stealing the silverware off the Titanic before the boat goes down, and they know it. We hit that iceberg probably in 2008, and they saw it and they said, I'm going to get out as much as I can as possible. And so while everyone's oblivious to the fact that the hole's taken on water, they've already gathered up all the silver, the fine china and the silverware, and they've jumped in a lifeboat. Here we go. The BBC reports since the pandemic, employees are leaving the workforce or switching jobs in droves. For many, employers have played a big part in why they're walking away. They say when the pandemic began, Melissa Villarreal was teaching history to middle schoolers at a private school in California. It was a job in a field she loved. Now, just over a year later, she's left teaching entirely to work in industrial design at a large beauty company. People like Villarreal are leaving their jobs or thinking about it in droves. A Microsoft survey of more than 30,000 global workers showed that 41% of workers were considering quitting or changing professions this year. In a study from HR software company Personio of workers in the UK and Ireland showed 38% of those surveyed plan to quit in the next 6 months to a year. In the U.S. alone, April saw more than 4 million people quit their jobs, according to a summary from the Department of Labor. Cue the news slideshow. From Inside Higher Ed, July 27th, summer camps, labor shortages, and academia. Labor shortages it is. From thestarpress.com, July 26th, nobody wants to work. Why are businesses struggling to find workers? From Fox News, July 26, Johnny Rockets, fat burger owner, says labor shortages facing restaurants a total nightmare. From TimCast.com, a members-only private segment with John Schnatter of Papa John's, formerly the chairman of the board, after that big scandal where they really screwed this guy over. He tells us, as I mentioned earlier, that he knows a pizza shop paying $35 an hour. Now, I know many on the left are cheering for that, saying, good, pay them a living wage. How much do you think it's going to cost to make a pizza if you're paying $35 an hour? Well, if it takes 10, let's say it takes 20 minutes to make a pizza, a good one, you know, done well. That means you're looking at about a third of those labor costs. So it's about, you know, $11 or $12 in labor for one pizza, plus the ingredients. Pizza is now going to cost maybe 15 bucks. Then you've got general overhead for the business. And then you're talking about a large pizza, which normally might go for $20 because they get a slim margin, now jumping up because you're paying $35 an hour to $30. I know I said 50, but let's be reasonable. It's going to be a significant increase. I'll put it this way. If you're paying 15 bucks an hour to a guy to make pizzas, the government offers them $16 an hour to do nothing. And you're like, how about 20? Nah, I can get 16 for nothing. 25, I can get 16 for nothing. 30 bucks an hour, double, but I can still get money for nothing. Okay, 35. All right, I guess 35. We are talking about more than doubling the cost of labor, which will go into more nearly doubling the cost of the pizza. Ingredients for now won't cost more, but what about agriculture? That's right, there's a labor shortage in agriculture, which means your cheese and sauce are going to go up in price too. And if everything goes up double, your $20 pizza will end up costing you $40. 40 bucks. Then the plumber comes in and says, I can't afford a $40 pizza. It's like, well, it's that or nothing. Then he says, fine, I guess. Then he goes to the next restaurant and says, look, I can fix your plumbing for your kitchen, but I got to make more money. I need twice as much. The inflation just hits. What does this mean? Your savings, man, your savings will be cut in half. As I already showed you in that first story, real wages have decreased 1.7%. Inflation is through the roof. Consumer price index through the roof. Evictions days away. Now, I know. Maybe it's worrying. Maybe what's really going to happen is there's going to be a last minute, you know, swooping in, saving of the economy, somehow staving off the true crisis. And then we pull out of the tailspin and pull up. Perhaps we can be optimistic. At the very least, I think it's important you see these stories just to understand what may be coming, so at least you know about it. You don't got to think the end is nigh or your life's going to be over, but don't be caught off guard at the very least. From the Sacramento Bee, who will take care of the disabled and the elderly? California faces unprecedented labor shortage. That's right. In hospice and old folks' homes. Here's something from Yahoo. A server says she's getting lousy tips because she keeps having to do other people's jobs. In the labor shortage, it just keeps happening. I mean, I probably got too many stories, my friend. Here's why businessman Ken Langone thinks the Fed is wrong and inflation is here to stay. It's all just getting worse, isn't it? Restaurants pull seafood from menus, hike prices amid inflation. Oh, it's also the shortages. That's another reality. Economist Nouriel Roubini warns of train wreck stock market crash and stagflation. This from July 3rd. Look, I find a lot of these stories. I read the news all day. I see these things and they correlate. One thing you need to be careful about all the time is that if someone writes 1,000 stories and 10 of them say the economy is going to implode and we're all doomed, it's easy for someone to take those 10 stories and say, this is what's really happening, and ignore the 990 stories that are like, actually, everything's fine. It's also hard to know for sure who's being honest and who's telling the truth. I typically err on the side of, if everyone was saying things were fine, I'd probably assume things were maybe fine. But you got to recognize what happened in 2008 when they claimed it was fine when it wasn't. It's hard to know what to trust. But be careful of stories like this. I would always say, fact check what I'm talking about. I think it's fair to say there's more than enough stories about labor shortages. It's fair to say that the eviction moratorium is a fact. It will end July 31st. That's when it's over. And you better believe those evictions will be filed. That is not an issue of, you know, hyperpolarization or being overly focused on one particular issue. That's a reality. And that's a reality y'all need to pay attention to, because if the rest of this is true, and I believe it is, we've got more than enough anecdotal evidence and statistical data to show there's a labor shortage resulting in a gas shortage, resulting in inflation that is here to stay. I think we're in trouble. Here's what I like. Letter. Threat of economic collapse should get your attention from the Eagle Tribune. It's a letter to the editor, but this is a regular person and their perspective, and it's short. Back when I was a tender young thing, I spent my summers as a whitewater raft guide in the Adirondacks. Whole towns thrived on nature-related summer sports. It was more than just an industry, it was an easy way of life. Climate change will take that away. It's not a question of water sports being a niche category, any more than those involving snow trails or bicycles. It will soon be too hot, too fiery, too dry to enjoy all of these activities. The economic cost will be real and devastating. The Bureau of Economic Analysis estimates that the outdoor recreation industry accounts for over $400 billion of our nation's GDP. This is just one quarter of an all-encompassing economic calamity. Ignoring climate change will cost literally trillions of American dollars. Even if we discount the human misery of a hot planet, is our corporate and political landscape ready to write off nation's financial prosperity? It is time to take swift action. Decades of science and human cost have failed to convince, clearly, since the requisite mobilization has not come to pass. But perhaps the specter of an economic collapse will prove more motivational. Very, very interesting article. I'm not somebody who typically pushes fear-mongering on climate change. Personally, I think climate change issues are serious and the underlying issues are serious. We should take them seriously. But I'm not actually here to argue about climate change. I'm here to argue about the perspective of the left, the perspective of Democrats and their fears over climate change and what that may mean. We saw the articles early in the pandemic. What did they say? The earth is healing. This individual writes a letter, just a regular person. This is not, you know, any prominent, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but just a letter to the editor. Climate change will destroy the economy. Will it? Or will people's fear of climate change cause them to shut down the economy, which will lead to economic collapse, which will cause the planet to heal? You see? Now, I don't know what ultimately everybody thinks. But as I mentioned, I think there's a component of a standalone complex. That is, many people who believe something similar taking concerted action, which will result in a seemingly, it looks like a conspiracy, but it's not. There are many people who believe climate change will destroy the planet, will result in mass chaos and economic collapse and death. And then you have people saying we must shutter the economy because of COVID. We see the Davos group saying that by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, talking about climate change and social justice, as they call it, and the things we have to do. I think we can see here that enough people are worried about rampant and nearly endless economic growth that there would be a standalone effort to shutter the economy, which will cause the planet to heal. Again, as the New York Times wrote. I want to show you this. I want to show you something from Reddit. It was deleted. If the housing market doesn't correct itself soon, there's going to be a reckoning across society, and you shouldn't be surprised if it happens. It was removed. The post on Reddit was talking about a massive societal collapse and chaos. It received 16,381 points. That means people were clicking the upvote button saying they liked this. It's not necessarily supposed to be an agree button, but it basically means people agree. They call this an unpopular opinion. That's where the forum where it was posted. The post was removed because of what the person said was going to happen. They said that there would be, you know what? I don't know how to describe this without getting banned from YouTube, so maybe I can just say it that way. They said there would be actions taken by individuals following the loss of wealth and the collapse that is a ban-worthy offense to say what these people would be willing to do. On Reddit, they removed it saying, you violated the rules. Now, that's crazy. This person just said, I think people will revolt. We'll put it mildly, very mildly, revolt if there's not a correction soon. And there's not going to be. People are basically cheering on the collapse. Now, you want to know why, after all of this, I will still say Joe Biden is the problem here. I bring you now to this story, timcast.com. Report, 50,000 migrants released into the U.S. by U.S. border into the U.S. by Border Patrol. Just 13% show up to an ICE office. 50,000 released. This, you know, this is a Rio Grande Valley sector, I think it's called. And you have 1 million illegal immigrants entering the U.S. since the start of the year, 188,000 in the past month alone. So I think we're close to like 1.2 million for the year, actually. What is that going to say about inflation? We already have a homelessness crisis. How are we bringing this influx of people in when there's a job shortage, a labor shortage? Maybe that's it. People don't want to work. So what is Joe Biden doing? This is his solution. if these jobs won't be filled and the economy will collapse, he's shuffling these people in as many as possible, desperate to find workers. Meanwhile, he's paying off Americans not to work. It's what we said earlier. The Democrats are creating a serf class. They're bringing in illegal immigrants saying, come on in, jobs are waiting, but Americans are getting paid not to work. Maybe that sounds great to these elitist city folk who are like, I'll take the free money and make them do the hard back-breaking labor. To me, it sounds nightmarish. And it also means that the lower income Americans, citizens of this country, will be left holding the bag so the elites can prosper at a point when we're about to face a massive collapse in the economy. I don't know for sure, but smarter men than me, smarter people than me, have said there's going to be a reckoning. There's going to be an economic collapse in about 2 days. We'll see what happens with these evictions. It may take a month after that because the evictions will be filed, and then maybe about a month before people actually get the boot. What do you think happens when the homeless population increases by millions? That'll be interesting. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up tonight at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/timcastirl. Thanks for hanging out, and I will see you all then.